Welcome, everybody. We're going to make a start. Well done for getting here, and if you're here for the first time, you're especially welcome. And if you'd like to get a weekly email reminder about what the talk is that week on the barge, you just need to fill in the response card and leave your contact email. A couple of things to sign up for on the welcome desk. The first thing is our seminar coming up on climate change, a Christian response in just 5 weeks' time. So this is an early evening guest event, 6:30, a light supper will be served, so some plated food, and then 7 o'clock till 8:30 we'll have a talk and questions on climate change. Our speaker is Professor Bob White. He is the Associate Director of the Faraday Institute for Science and Religion in Cambridge, and he's got a book out last month on this whole issue of climate change and a Christian response. So please do book in. There's a sign-up sheet on the welcome desk. You can book in for yourself and for guests to bring along with you, or you can book by emailing the barge office. The details are all on the cards. You've got one in your service sheet. There are lots more on the tables and on the desk, so please do take as many as you can use. And then just to say for regulars, our next prayer lunch, our monthly prayer lunch, is this coming Tuesday. So if you'd like to come to pray for the work of the barge, and if you'd like food, please do sign up at the welcome desk and we'll order a bagel lunch for you. And also to say that the next Christianity Explored course is starting on Monday. So Monday the 10th of September, that is next Monday, isn't it? Yeah, so this is a 7-week course, 7 lunchtimes. You watch a bit of a video, and there's a chance to ask any questions you want on the Christian faith. So if that's appropriate for you or for a colleague, please do book in using the response card. And finally, if you're stuck for something to read on the tube, the briefing costs just £1. Lots of stimulating articles from a Christian perspective. And this one is about building better marriages. So lots of articles on that. So you may find that useful when the strikes are on and you're waiting for hours for a train. We're looking today at Psalm 56 as the final one in our series on the Psalms this summer. I'm going to pray for us and then we'll look at the psalm that's printed inside your sheets. So let's pray. Lord God, you know the pressures we face in our daily lives. Please may we learn from this psalm about how to apply our faith to every situation. And we pray this for Jesus' sake. Amen. So Psalm 56, the title says, to the choirmaster, according to the dove on far-off terebinths and miktam of David when the Philistines seized him in Gath. David writes, be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me. All day long an attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you, in God whose word I praise. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? All day long they injure my cause. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife, they lurk. They watch my steps as they have waited for my life. For their crime will they escape. In wrath, cast down the peoples, O God. You have kept count of my tossings, put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thank offerings to you. For you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. A bread knife is a simple tool with one main application, namely cutting bread. By contrast, in 1897, a guy called Carl Elsner founded a company that started producing what he called the Officers and Sports Knife. It's now standard equipment on space shuttle missions and expeditions to Everest and the North Pole. The original knife contained 6 practical tools, today's versions such as the one up on the screen there, many more. Some 25,000 of these multifunction pocket knives with their distinctive Swiss cross logo, leave the factory in central Switzerland every day. The Victorinox Swiss Army knife. Is faith like a bread knife or like a Swiss Army knife? So is it unipurpose or is it multipurpose? The Bible tells us that Christian faith is necessary for salvation. That is its main and its glorious application. It is through faith in Christ that we are saved, that we're forgiven, that we're rescued from the judgment to come. Now that is obviously a wonderful thing. But Psalm 56 reveals that faith is not a single-purpose bread knife. It is a multi-purpose Swiss Army knife with multiple applications, some of which we may not be using to our great loss. Faith is for daily living, with all its pressures, as well as for eternal salvation. In this psalm, we learn from David how to put our faith to work. But firstly, as you'll see from the outline, a reality check. Let's look at the situation David was in. Two things here. Firstly, he was under pressure, and that's to put it mildly. The title tells us that David wrote this psalm when the Philistines seized him in Gath. If you read the account in 1 Samuel 21, it tells us that David had been anointed king. He had defeated Goliath, but then King Saul was jealous and set out to kill him. David flees into Philistine territory. He's so desperate that he takes refuge with Israel's enemy. In fact, he takes refuge in the home of Goliath, whom he'd killed. But his plan backfires and they seize him. So now not only did he have Saul on his tail, he was in the hands of the Philistines. David was a man under pressure. In his own words in verses 1 and 2, he says, "Man tramples on me all day long, an attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly." And in verses 5 and 6, he says that all day long they injure my cause. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife. They lurk. They watch my steps as they have waited for my life. And there's no let up, is there? That phrase, all day long, it comes up in verse 1, verse 2, and verse 5. It's relentless. So this psalm was not written in some ivory tower. David was in it up to his neck. David was a believer under pressure. He was facing some very real and concrete problems in his life. And as believers, we too are people under pressure. There's the multiple plate spinning, there's work, there are disappointments, relationship hassles, tragedies, setbacks, illness, bereavement, and so on. Plus the daily struggle with the world, the flesh, and the devil. And notice secondly that David doesn't drift along above these pressures untouched by them. These pressures get to him, just as they do to us. Look at how his emotions are affected. In verse 3 he says, "When I am afraid." David knew what it was like not just to face pressures, but to be afraid. He wasn't some superhuman figure, he was flesh and blood just like you and me. The line of t-shirts that some outdoorsy types wear, which bear the slogan "No Fear," sound very macho, don't they? But David wasn't embarrassed to admit that he did get scared at times. He was afraid. And you may be someone who even this lunchtime has fears about your future, fears about pressures you're facing at the moment, about deadlines, problems at work, problems at home. Well, this psalm speaks very directly into those situations. And along with the fears, there were tears. If you look in verse 8, David cried, and he doesn't mind admitting it. He speaks of his tears in verse 8. Thankfully, David didn't subscribe to the nonsense that grown men don't cry. Under pressure, he shed tears, just as Jesus himself was later to do, offering up prayers with loud cries and tears, as Hebrews 5 verse 7 puts it. Which of us here may have shed tears in private over even the past week as the pressures of some situation have got to us? Well, this is the psalm of a man under pressure. Pressure which was getting to him, giving rise to fears and tears. Well, that's the situation. What do you do? Where do you go from there? Do you give way to panic and despair? Do you do your best just to try and sort it out? Do you cover up? Do you put a brave face on it? Smile, pretend nothing's wrong. What did David do? Well, verse 3, he says, I put my trust in you. Verse 4, in God I trust. Verse 11, in God I trust. David puts his faith to work. Under pressure, beset by fears and tears, David puts his trust, his faith, in God. David's faith was something that he engaged in the nitty-gritty of the day-to-day. It made a difference to how he reacted under pressure. It was a faith that worked and a faith that was put to work in the trials of life. So faith is not only for the big issue of eternal salvation. It is also for the smaller matter of present problems. That is the response challenge, which is our second point. You see, on the one hand, David is one of the Old Testament champions of faith for salvation. Last week we heard him declaring in Psalm 130, O Lord, with you there is forgiveness. But on the other hand, David is also one of the Old Testament champions of faith for present problems. And that is the context of so many of the Psalms. David is not just saying, I'm a sinner, please forgive me. He's saying, I'm under pressure, please help me. The faith that looked to God for eternal salvation also looked to God for present help when the pressure was on. Same faith, different applications. The challenge David puts to us this lunchtime is this. Do we have a Psalm 56 faith as well as a Psalm 130 faith? Wouldn't it be ironic to exercise faith in God for eternal salvation, but not in the smaller problems of our daily lives? God wants our faith in him to be multi-purpose, versatile, not single application. He wants us to put our trust in him not only when we've sinned, but also when we've been sinned against, when we're feeling low, when we're feeling overwhelmed by the pressures of life. And let's face it, that's what a lot of people who don't share our faith are watching us for. Does their faith work when the pressure is on? Does it help them? Does their faith actually make any difference at all when the wheels of life are coming off? Well, what does that look like in practice? Well, the question is, what did faith in God mean for David when the pressure was on? The psalm highlights at least 10 things that faith does, and I'm just going to run through them briefly now. 10 simple things. Number one, they're down on your sheet. Number one, faith cries out to God for help. So verse 1, be gracious to me, O God. It's a plea that occurs frequently in the Psalms. David cries out to God for his help in his distress. And as with eternal salvation, the basis of his plea, it's not his own merits, but purely God's grace. I remember once as a young lad, we were up in the Lake District as a family on a beautiful summer's day. And I swam out to this little island on one of the lakes. And I turned around to swim back to shore. And I realized I'd bitten off a little bit more than I could chew. But I couldn't bring myself to call for help because I was too embarrassed. I was too proud. Well, calling out to God for eternal salvation involves swallowing our pride. And if we're believers, we've already done that. But how ironic, if faced with the pressures of life, we're too proud to call on God for his help, and we just try to muddle through under our own steam. In the trials of life, faith cries out to God for help. Number two, faith resolves to turn to God. So verse 3, David says, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. David consciously puts his trust in God. It is an act of the will. Faith is seen here as a deliberate act, it's a choice, in defiance of your emotions, in defiance of how you feel. David's afraid, David's distressed, but he won't be ruled by his emotions. Instead, he resolves he's going to put his trust in God. You see, our emotions are very powerful and they're an important part of our makeup as human beings, but they need to be kept in their right place. So if you picture your life as a car, it's one thing for your emotions to be a passenger in the car. It is another thing altogether for your emotions to be in the driving seat, determining where you're going. David, under pressure, is experiencing fears and tears. But he takes control of the situation. It's as if he's in the passenger seat and fear is driving. And he says, right, stop the car, get out. Now, faith, you get off the back seat and get into the driving seat. He resolves to turn to God. Number three, faith overcomes our fears. So verse 4, he says, in God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. Repeated in verse 11. So not only has faith been put in the driving seat in place of fear, fear has been told to get out of the car and to walk. So fear has not even been given a place on the back seat, and God's peace jumps into the car and takes his place. And that has been my experience in life, as I'm sure it has been in yours. At certain crisis points, sure, but also in the more mundane everyday pressures of life. Fear has got no power to control us if we don't allow it to. Faith overcomes our fears. Just one example. I remember during my wife's first pregnancy, we knew that our son would need a major heart operation when he was born. And the natural reaction was to be afraid, and we were afraid. But we found as we cried out to God, we prayed to him, and we looked to his word, the Bible, this fear was replaced by peace. And even during the 7 hours of the operation, we felt very much at peace that this little life was in the Lord's hands. And you will have your own stories to tell. Number four, faith looks to God's word. So in verse 4, David says, in God, whose word I praise, in God I trust. In the pressures of life, faith looks to God's word. David's Bible, of course, was a lot skinnier than our Bibles, wasn't it? But it was the rock on which he stood. Faith reads God's word, it remembers God's promises, and it holds on to them. You see, when we're under pressure, it's as if we hear lots of voices saying, you've had it, be afraid, you're done for. As our emotions react to the situation. But when we look to God's word in that situation, it's his voice that gets louder and starts to drown out these other voices that we're hearing. God speaks words of reassurance through his word, words of comfort, of encouragement, of hope. Number five, faith leaves opponents to God's justice. David says of his enemies in verse 7, for their crime will they escape, in wrath cast down the peoples, O God. You see, he doesn't take matters into his own hands, but he trusts that in the end, God will ensure justice is done. As Romans 12, verse 19 says, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. When we're under pressure from other people, our natural desire is to get our own back, isn't it? But faith leaves them to God and doesn't repay evil for evil. The way David treated his enemy Saul is actually a striking example of this. Well, how about us? What about the person in your office who's got it in for you? What about the colleague who's scheming behind your back at the moment? The person who's been spreading gossip about you? Maybe the boss who's making life difficult? Faith does not plot their downfall. Faith leaves them to God's justice. Number six, faith remembers that God sees our distress. You see that in verse 8 that David says, you have kept count of my tossings, you have put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? It's a lovely picture, isn't it? When we're under pressure, we often feel, don't we, that no one else knows, no one else understands what we're going through. And they may not. No one else sees the tears, maybe, that we shed in private. But David remembered that God sees and God knows. It's as if, the image he uses here, it's as if God has a bottle in which he collects each and every tear that you shed, a sort of tear bank, like one of the guys at the Met Office collecting and measuring rainfall. God has got this bottle. Or a book, it's referred to as a book as well, in which he keeps a log, so tear 563 or whatever. Number seven, faith knows that God is for us. End of verse 9, David says, this I know, that God is for me. See, David trusted that God was on his side. God was fighting for him, protecting him. Even though, humanly speaking, he was in a hopeless situation. It's a phrase that's picked up in Romans chapter 8, which says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Remember, at primary school, we were football mad. And there was one boy called Basil Cabani. And when we picked teams, if Basil Cabani ended up on your team, you breathed a massive sigh of relief because you knew that you would win. Well, faith knows that in every situation, if we're believers, when the teams have been picked, God always ends up on our side. God is for us. And number 8 follows on from that, that faith sees problems in God's perspective. So verse 4, David says, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? Likewise, verse 11, he says, what can man do to me? David sees his problems, he sees his enemies for what they are. They're just people. They're only flesh, whereas he has got God on his side. Again, Romans 8 picks this up when it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. What's the worst that can happen? Well, the worst thing that can happen to us is death. And yet, if God is for you, not even death can separate you from him. Faith sees problems in God's perspective. I knew a wonderful godly Christian woman called Jenny. And a few years ago, she was diagnosed with a brain tumour. And she spent the final weeks of her life in a hospice, slowly deteriorating. Well, Romans 8 was one of the passages that I'd read to her, even when she was no longer able to respond. And it was read at her funeral. Jenny knew that God was for her, and her faith made a real difference to her in that horrific situation. Number 9, faith thanks God for his rescue. So verse 12, David says, I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thank offerings to you, for you have delivered my soul from death. Yes, my feet from falling. It's one thing, isn't it, to cry out to God when you're in trouble. It's another thing to remember to thank him when you've come out the other side. If Elton John is right that sorry seems to be the hardest word, well, thank you is not far behind, is it? What happens when you give a child a gift? 9 times out of 10, what happens next? Mum or dad has to chip in and say, what do you say, Stanley? And he says, thank you, because he never remembered to say it. But aren't we sometimes like that with God? As faith cries out to God for help in the problems of life, so faith should say thank you to God when he brings us through them. And finally, number 10, faith walks before God. Verse 13, David says, you've delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. David sees that the point of God rescuing him is that he might go on to walk before him in obedience. That is the perspective of faith. Spiritually, don't you find that some of the most barren times in our lives are actually not when the pressure is on, but when the pressure is off, when we've come out the other side? Don't you find that? That when we're up against it, we may cry out to God and we cling to his word and we walk closely with him. Because we're conscious, aren't we, of our need of him. The drift away from him can actually occur once the pressure is off. Because then we're not so dependent on the Lord anymore. We don't feel that. We're not so bothered about obedience anymore. It's a pattern we see in Old Testament Israel, particularly in the time of the judges. But faith keeps walking with God once we've emerged from the tunnel and from the darkness. Just 10 simple examples of how David's faith made a difference when the heat was on. It was through faith that he was saved, but it was through faith that he also coped with the pressures of daily life. Now, on one level, David was a very special man, wasn't he? He was the anointed king who foreshadowed the anointed one who would come. His experience here in Psalm 56, it is fulfilled in the first place in the trials and the faith of the Christ, that is Jesus, the Son of God. But on another level, David is just an ordinary believer, and he provides a model of how faith is to be put into action in the nitty-gritty of life. Well, if we're those this lunchtime who haven't yet put our faith our trust in the Lord for salvation, this psalm challenges us to do so, to trust in the Lord for salvation, but also for his help in the struggles of daily life. However, if we're those who do already trust in the Lord, is our faith a bread knife or is it a Swiss Army knife? You see, this psalm urges us to follow David's example, just as Jesus himself was to do. Victorinox, so this company who produced these Swiss Army knives, they've also published a little booklet that you can access on their website, which is up there, called A Friend in Need. It contains true stories of how people have been helped in all manner of situations with their little Victorinox pocket knife, and makes for great reading. Well, as believers, we have in the Lord, in God, we have that friend in need, the one to whom we can turn in faith in all the challenges of our daily lives. Well, why don't we pray that, like David, we may have increasingly our own stories to tell of how trusting in the Lord has helped us in all sorts of situations in our lives. Well, let's pray together. Let's just pause for a moment of quiet to pray in the quietness of our own hearts and minds. Whatever pressure you're facing at the moment, why not look to the Lord in faith and ask for his help? And if you've not yet looked to the Lord for his forgiveness, why not ask him for that now through Jesus, even this lunchtime? So a moment of quiet to do that. Lord God, we ask all these prayers in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Do come back next week. We begin a new series, details of which are on your term card, a series in Matthew's Gospel. And do stay around and chat, and there is some lunch available on the table there. And do remember to sign up for the climate change seminar and also for the prayer lunch next week. Thank you.